Okay, folks, it's 3 p.m. Tuesday, August the 16th, 2022. We'll call our workshop into session. First time is roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Thank you. Michael Blomquist, Place 2.
Michael Blomquist, Council, Place 2, is present.
Thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3.
Tony Cantorino, Place 3, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4.
Linda Nash, Place 4, present.
Thank you. Sam Hallaby, Place 5.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, present.
Thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present. Okay,
thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham.
Okay, thank you. We do have a quorum. We'll move on to paragraph 2, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone that wants to address the council? Seeing none, we'll move on to number 3, discussion items. Number 1, receive and discuss a presentation by Uriah Nelson, Director of the Clean Temple Metropolitan Planning Organization, KTMPO, regarding the background, purpose, and future of the organization. Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. The KTMPO, as you may or may not know, is responsible for establishing a comprehensive transportation planning process for the greater area around Killeen and Temple. The KTMPO is comprised of the Transportation Planning Policy Board and a Technical Advisory Board, whose members are community and county elected officials and or appointed by those officials. The KTMPO boundary covers all of Bell County, parts of Coryell and Lampasas County, and portions of Fort Hood, and encompasses the following cities: Bartlett, Belton, Copper's Cove, Parker Heights, Holland, Kempner, Killeen, Little River Academy, Morgan's Point Resort, Nolanville, Rogers, Salado, Temple, and Troy. So with us today is Uriah Nelson, the director, and he is going to kind of go through the process of KTMPO.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Council. Thanks for having me out here. I've got a brief slideshow for you. Then I also handed out some material that staff put together. You should have with projects Harker Heights actually currently has in our planning process. So first I'll go through this and then we'll just open it up for discussion and questions. So like Jerry said, we are the transportation planning organization for the Bell County. We cover a little bit of Coryell and a little bit of Lampasas counties. What is the MPO? We are a transportation planning organization that serves the Central Texas region, including the Killeen and Temple urbanized areas. And our purpose is to coordinate regionally for transportation needs within our boundary. Not only do we coordinate needs within our boundary, but we also work with the neighboring metropolitan planning organizations, such as the Capital Area MPO down in Austin and the Waco MPO in McLennan County. And we serve as the local voice regarding these regional transportation priorities. We are structured, we actually are part of two TxDOT districts, the Waco District and the Brownwood District. The Brownwood District actually covers that little part of Lampasas County and Kempner. We cover two UZAs, or urbanized areas. The Temple UZA, which has a population of between 5,000 and 200,000, and then the Killeen TMA, which is a transportation management area, which is a large UZA with a population over 200,000. Like Jerry said, we cover Bell, parts of Coryell, and Lampasas County, and we have over 3,600 miles of roadway that we take into account when we're doing our transportation planning activities. How are we the voice? We are governed by a transportation policy board. This is comprised of representatives through the region. These are all local elected officials. We also have a technical advisory committee that advises the policy board. on items that are of interest and need for the region. These are mostly staff members, engineers, the city managers, the more technical people that can provide input to the policy board policymakers. We also have two sub-advisory committees that advise the technical advisory committee, the bike ped committee, and the freight advisory committee. The freight advisory committee, we had a really strong showing, and then COVID hit, and it kind of went to the back burner. That staff are actually in the process of kicking that back up, so we've gotten a lot of interest in people serving on that committee. And then we also include the public for any feedback that they may have on any of our planning activities. All of our plans and our processes all go before the public before anything is finalized. Our representation is on the slides behind me and in front of me. I'm not going to go through that. Like we said, that's all elected officials for the policy board and city staff for the technical committees. Each of those members has one to two proxies that can serve should they not be able to at a meeting and vote in their place. So the MPO plans, we have the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. That's our long-range 25-year plan. Right now we're working under the 2045 MTP. We will start updating that in the next 2 years for the 2050 MTP. That's updated every 5 years. The Transportation Improvement Program, which is the TIP, that's our short-term four-year plan. That includes actual, once things are taken from the MTP and put into where they're actually funded, that's where the funding happens in that four-year plan. And that is updated actually every 2 years. Unified Planning Work Program is our UPWP. That is the document that guides how staff time is spent and what plans and activities staff are going to be doing. Our congestion management process is in the process of being updated. That's the plan that analyzes congestion in our region and tries to provide strategies for reducing or mitigating that congestion. And then we also have our travel demand model, which is the model that's used to predict traffic levels on certain roadways. And it doesn't just take traffic into account, it takes economic factors into account, businesses and all of that, as well as projections for where things are going to be and how populous areas will be in the future. The MTP, like I said, that's updated every 5 years. The last one was approved in May 2019. The next one will be approved in May 24. It provides guiding principles and concepts for our regional transportation plan. It's only a couple hundred pages, so if you have a little bit of time on your hand, feel free to pull it out. It includes a list of our prioritized transportation projects that have been submitted by all the regional entities for funding consideration. That list of priorities, it's not in this packet, I don't believe, is updated about every 2 years, just so that we can remain on top of what current priorities are. You might submit a project in hopes that it gets funded in 2 years, but the city of Harker Heights might have a new priority in 2 years. Something else might have come along, and so we open that call for projects every 2 years, and we reprioritize our MTP projects accordingly. Our projects are all evaluated based on a policy board approved scoring process, and then ranked and based on their score, as well as forecasted funding amounts. So a lot of people think, hey, we have this transportation map, this plan, we need these roads, just give us some money. And people think we have just a lot of money coming in, and we do have a lot of money coming in, but money can only be used for certain things, and it's only given to us at certain increments in time. So we have to take a lot of different things into account when submitting these funding scenarios for the policy board to consider. For example, how much the project costs, how much money we have available, how project readiness, you know, are you guys actually even ready to move forward with the project? Or is a project in a neighboring community ready to move forward prior to yours? So a lot of that goes into account, and then we kind of prioritize the list with how the money flows, the different categories and all of that.
Will you take questions?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael.
Michael Blockman, Councilman Place Two. This MTP plan, I know in the past we've had projects, you know, we submit them, and it might be way down on the priority list, but in the recent, my memory, if I recall correctly, we had a project that was actually elevated up because we had it ready to go, but it was just far enough down we didn't have funding. Does it behoove the cities, if they have, you know, potential plans, make sure it is submitted, even though it might not get funded, you know, for a while, but if it's ready to go, kind of like shovel-ready, if the plan's already been done, the engineering's been done, that it can get moved up? I think it was Stillhouse Lake Road. We had that bumped up on the priority there, where it was further down, we thought, initially, but funding became available, I guess, for something else shifted out or whatnot. But
So that's a good point. Yes, so projects can be submitted at any point in time. They're just not scored and prioritized typically. They're placed on the long-range unfunded plan. But yes, as the scoring process gets closer, or you know, what we like to do is take those that have been prioritized and fund those as funding becomes available. But there's, if you know of a project that's moving forward a lot faster than you like and you'd like to reprioritize, you can always bring that to us during the reprioritization process.
Are you going to talk about TxDOT and Federal Highway? Are you going to roll that into your brief?
I think I have a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I mean, because you know how that factors into what he's talking about as far as funding.
Right, and if we're talking about funding specifically, I don't know if I have anything specific about TxDOT or Federal Highways, but, you know, especially with all this new money that came out, we were being asked for shovel-ready projects. You know, a lot of times other MPOs or other areas of the state, if they don't have projects ready, TxDOT has to spend that money in order to request their next tranche of money from Federal Highway. So it's a pretty elaborate process, but if we can have projects ready to go, the more shovel-ready projects we have, the better it is for our region. The MTP, our forecasted funding for the 20 years of 2019 to 2045 was about $456 million for transportation funding. With the new bipartisan infrastructure law, there will be an increase in that for our next MTP cycle. We got a couple million dollars extra per year in different categories of funding. Our transportation improvement plan, that, like I said, covers a four-year period. It's updated every 2 years. Our latest approved TIP covers fiscal year 21 through 24. Currently, we are actually going through the process, or the state's going through the process. The policy board recently approved our fiscal year 23 to 26 TIP, but it's still pending Federal Highways review and TxDOT review, since they all come in and are compiled into one statewide document. Current staff priorities. Currently, we're working on a county thoroughfare plan for Bell County. We have been working with all the cities in Bell County as well to gather data that they may have that can feed into this plan, so we can provide them a really comprehensive plan. The Safe Streets and Roads for All, that is a grant program that the MPO, as well as the Central Texas Council of Governments, we are applying for a joint application if that passes the Sitcock Executive Committee next week. And that'll be for a comprehensive safety action plan to cover the MPO boundaries as well as the other six counties in the Sitcock region. And what that action plan will do, should we be selected for funding under this program, opens individual jurisdictions or the MPO up to additional funding that's been made available for the next 4 years for actual safety projects that are identified in the plan. Without the plan, you can't apply for projects. So hopefully we'll get funded for that. and we can have that comprehensive safety plan. That'll take probably, I'm estimating, 6 to 18 months. We're currently still watching for the census. I know a lot of the preliminary numbers have been released, population-based numbers. The MPO, they've kind of restructured how they are going to define our area or our jurisdictional area, from population to urban density based on housing units. So we're watching that, kind of seeing how it comes down the pipe and how they get that all figured out at the federal level. And the last thing we're really watching is for the release of the fiscal year statewide transportation alternatives funding. These are scheduled to open October. Any community can apply. These are for your safe routes to school programs, active transportation plans, any type of project like that. I did put in the slides, they're going to have webinars for this program the 22nd and 31st of August, as well as September 7th. If it's something you may be interested in, let us know. We're more than happy to help.
Is that something that we could look at for, when you say infrastructure projects for safety, especially dealing with schools, for like sidewalks going to schools?
That's for the safe routes to school. That is one of the main things is sidewalks for schools that's funded. And then the last slide I have is current funding opportunities that are open. The Safe Streets and Roads for All that I just mentioned, that CITCOG and the MPO are going after. There's a bridge formula program that's currently open, closes in September. That program will continue on for the next 5 years, as well as a couple of climate and resiliency initiatives. The National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, those funds are going to come out over the next 5 years. The state actually just submitted their electric vehicle charging plan to the federal government for approval. Once that's approved, the state is actually going to take the first tranche of money and start doing on-system charging stations. And then after that, the state will be reaching out to MPOs for us to work with our local elected officials to see where charging stations are probably most needed. The one thing that we'll have to keep take into account, and it's a big push, is the word escapes me right now. Making sure that underserved and underrepresented areas are taken into account when we, as we, the MPO, submit information for how we see that vehicle infrastructure program working in our region. Equity, that's the word I was looking for. So, and then the carbon reduction program, there's $641 million for Texas over 5 years. There is actually some of that that is being directly funded to Clean Temple MPO, for the Temple UZA and the Clean TMA. And then the rest will go to the state for distribution. We just don't know what those dollars look like right now. And with that, I'll open it up for any conversation on that. Like I said, I did provide some updates on Harker Heights specific projects that are listed, that the K-Tempo has listed as projects, the Warriors Path to be Knights Way, Indian Trail Drive, if you want to speak about any of these specifically. I know it's not really a Harker Heights specific program. I know Chaparral Road kind of might have got the attention of a lot of people. So I did provide
Facebook popular lately.
I did, I had something printed out that I could so I could give you just a basic update on the history of Chaparral Road. In 2004, the city of Killeen submitted that project to widen it from 195 to, and I don't have the other road here, but now, that's it. And now, since then, it's been reduced to East Tremere. It's been phased. In 2008, it was resubmitted during the 2035 MTP project call. It was still listed as regionally significant, but it was still unfunded. It fell into that very bottom of the list. It was also resubmitted in the 2040 MTP call. It did move up to the short-range funding portion, which is 4 to 10 years, to be funded between 2014 and 2023. It was resubmitted during the 2045 MTP project call. It was kept in the short-range funding portion of the project list. The project was resubmitted. All projects in our MTP were resubmitted during 2020 and rescored and reprioritized. It was kept in short-range funding during that project list. Due to funding concerns, the City of Killeen notified K-Tempo that the project could be split into two or three phases to assist with funding if necessary. So we did phase that into, so we have phase one right now in the 23 to 26 TIP that's waiting for federal approval, with an anticipated let date or start of construction on that to be January 2025. So I'm open for any questions on that project as well, or anything else you may want to ask about K-Tempo?
Yeah, how large is your staff?
Staff? We currently have myself, an assistant director, a manager, and two other staff, and none of the MPO staff are 100% full-time MPO. They also manage and have very significant roles in multiple projects at the COG. Right.
Okay. So the COG works real close with KTMPO?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, Michael.
When you get federal dollars, is it typically a sharing thing where you have to pony up so much money, or is it open where they give you the money to spend? And then if they do give you money to spend in a grant or whatever it may be, are there strings attached only that we have to adhere to certain things?
So for the transportation funding like that we do with the category 2, 7, and 9, those are 80%, 20% local match for the local governments.
Okay.
K-Tempo doesn't match. And we actually only fund construction dollars. So any of the engineering or any of that isn't funded through K-Tempo. Now, there are other grant programs that vary between 70% and 90% federal match.
Okay. And then are there strings attached with those projects? Do they require you to do certain things?
There are always, there's always some type of red tape, but for, you know, projects like this, it's a lot of oversight. And it, just making sure that the dollars were where they were supposed to be. Another big thing with using federal dollars on construction-based projects are Davis-Bacon wages to make sure that all construction projects fall within that. Those are the biggest areas that I can think that there's been hits. The other thing they like to keep is they like to keep track of time to make sure projects are moving forward like they should and not just stalling out. Right.
Right. Thank you. The list that Uline has given us here, you know, in working with K-Tempo and all the different entities that are on there, it takes time, and there's some horse trading that goes on when you do that. But again, we've been able to have, you know, ours to raise up. You know, we got the worst path. Phase one, got that knocked out. That's a wonderful example of different entities working together. We had phase two, that's on there, but if you look at phase three, no, that's out there. Okay, so there's, you know, like it's all different, you know, theories. You know, people talk about the intervention that will go through Frank Pate's land to get to the access road to 914. But the other part that's going on right now, which again, that we support the city of Nolanville and their initiative, is their bike path. They'll go across the, you have a parallel bridge, it'll go across the Nolanville road there. And also the bridge will be repaired, okay? That's very important to Harker Heights, because so many of our people, that's how they go. If they go to work to Temple or get to the interstate, So that's why we really support Noblesville as far as that initiative. And those things have risen up to get up there. And again, just deals with money.
No, I wanted to add to that.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask, I understand that it's due to funding, but if anybody has gone in the last two mornings in the old Noblesville Warriors Path intersection, it is so dangerous and so horrible that, I mean, there was a guy who fishtailed yesterday around a bus because he was upset at the wait, and the line goes back, I mean, at least a few miles, but he fishtailed around the bus and went off the curb. I mean, if there were sidewalks there and kids were walking over to school, I walk my kids to school, and we have to go all the way through the neighborhood around, come out on Old Noblesville, cross back down, which is fine, but, I mean, it's twice as long, and you've got cars that are, I mean, it's insane what they do in the mornings, 2 feet from kids. It's awful, and they're angry. So the last, this morning there was a police officer out there, and it helped dramatically, but it's hard to swallow when there's situations like this that are only going to get worse with the building of schools and houses that we have no clue when a problem is even going to attempt to be fixed. So it's hard to explain.
Right.
And if it's all due to funding, it's an answer. If that's it, that's how I answer people. I said, I believe it's always just funding.
Well, funding definitely plays a big part in all of that, right?
But it's a huge need.
And that's why we had to find other ways to fund it. Like the mayor mentioned, that the project we did in front of the middle school was not a KTIPO project. I think it may have been listed on there at one time, but we didn't have time to wait.
Some multiple entities.
So I suspect that northern phase of Warriors Path is going to be the same thing. We're going to have to figure out a way to address that versus waiting on this. Because it is interesting to know that you look down for these projects. I can tell council, at least in my time here, I started in 04. Some of these projects were on the long-range plan in 04. If you look on some of these, they're showing like a 2050 date. I mean, so we're talking about those are 50 years, and we're just guessing as when these projects are going to be.
And that's where I guess I'm getting at, is I understand things are on the radar, but some things do need to move up. And when we're talking about all these schools and more, like 300-plus houses going in, you can't go either direction on Warriors Path without some type of worry. We can't even pull off of our street. And that's the consensus, I'm sure, even with your street, Tony, pulling out. It's, I mean, Spectrum was parked there on the side the other day, and I was like, can y'all direct traffic? Because no one's going to see.
And your school's going to be enlarged. I mean, that's what they're planning on doing.
Oh, yeah, there's a huge remodel.
The remodel is going to enlarge that school, so it's going to put even more traffic in there. So I think we're going to have to figure out a way to lift that one with the entities coming together like we did on the other section.
Right.
Okay, good to know. Just curious.
And that kind of goes back to why we reprioritize every 2 years.
That's why I was bringing it up, because it's a huge priority.
And on the southern end of Warriors, we got the realignment in the future that'll also impact
Comanche Gap.
Mm-hmm. So that's another big concern. Yeah. You know, that'll be a major intersection.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ryan had said, if you look at all different entities that are players in KTMPO, and everybody has issues and things, mm-hmm. and so there's all this things. And again, Christina is she sits on the TAC. I'm the chairman of the Transportation Policy Planning Board. There's a lot of discussion going on. Again, we have representatives from TxDOT that are there every time that we have our monthly meeting. So there's a lot of discussion that goes on all these things, and a lot of it just comes down to money. But there's a lot of different people that need to have things done in their municipality. And the other thing is you look at planning, and not necessarily like KTEMPO thing, but, you know, kind of talking about the Chaparral Road. Okay, that's an example. But I'll even give you a different example. Okay, it was middle school 14 on Warriors Path Road. That was a pop go to weasel, okay? Because KISD has a different funding, okay? They have a different planning. And the thing is that as far as when they hold a lot of this stuff close to the vest,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the thing is that their planning line is not Parker Heights or the other thing that's in the paper right now as far as Killeen or Bell County,
right.
okay? And it comes down to money. The thing is that it costs a lot of money, but the thing is they go do that. You got Chaparral High School out there, and, oh, well, by the way, Jimmy Don Acock Middle School. It just exacerbates the problem that they know that they have. So people need to understand that KISD's got their own planning process, their own funding that they have, they do those things, as Killeen, as Harker Heights, as Nolanville, okay, going forward. Thing is that middle school 14, okay, out there on the Warriors Path Road, in fact, is they want to pop that thing down. Is it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it, so if TxDOT
had... Who's for elementary?
That's the one... on Warriors Path.
Yeah, that middle school. They're doing futuristic, but they're even talking.
Yeah, so that middle school that's there, would they want to do that? Well, they had to have infrastructure that was put in there. And so the fact that the TxDOT took over all the improvements that we did on 3481, so we were able to redirect those monies to be able to make the timeline so that school had sewer and water in there, okay? But that wasn't a priority for us, but then it became a priority. And so all these other things about developers doing things, you know, I agree with what, you know, I don't doubt what you're saying at all, okay? Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the timelines of what people are doing, they're not doing it from a holistic approach. And that's the people end up getting jammed. And the main thing is that hopefully the safety for schools or pedestrians or bicycles, that's going to rise to the fore. But God forbid you have some kid get killed after going to school.
It's huge. And right now, granted, we all love 100 feet of sidewalk, but it does nobody any good. I mean, thank you for, you know what I mean? It's this one small little stretch that really does no one any good because it doesn't really connect to anything.
Right. Sam?
But, man, why, I mean, like KISD, like this year, our school taxes went up. City tax went down. But why they do not cooperate with us in these kind of matters to the point that, they have to pay for some other infrastructures beside the school is, because that Warriors Path, you know, it's a big mess, like in Harker Heights. And now, having that school in there, you know, it made more impact on a lot of traffic on 2410 and Comanche Gap. Now it's like Jensen. Last year I had people just because they're waiting for someone to get out of there to turn around them and go to the parking lot in the front of that 2410 and go back to the 2410. Why KISD does not have more research and plan to cooperate with the city before they even plan the school?
On the Warriors Path Middle School, KISD was our big partner in that one. It was us and KISD as well as the city of Nolanville. Nolanville, a small amount just for some sidewalk work on their side. But so our big partner was KISD, so they did work with us on that. Now, I can always speak from staff discussions on the new elementary expansion. There is some agreement among staff that we can work together to do something similar again up there to benefit that school when it goes in. So we are trying back channel wise to try to get ahead as we hear about the projects. Unfortunately, like Chaparral Road is the lift, and then you hear that in the paper about, you know, why is it not already done? It's a massive roadway. Again, I've always said about $30 million to achieve that. That's why you see it broken into phases, because when we get money, Temple's got projects equally as big. But if you fund one of those projects, nobody else in the region gets anything over that period of time because those projects are so huge. So what K-Temple has done is said we'll break them down so that everybody, we can share the pie. So Temple gets a project, Belton, Harker Heights clean. Everybody gets something to try to start Cavania Roads versus them just funding Chaparral Road and nobody else in the region gets any money. So that's why you see them breaking them into phases so that they can get them in kind of biteable chunks as the money comes in. But again, that's why it's just a big, heavy lift. I mean, for like Chaparral Road, a $30 million roadway, you want to know why it's not done? Well, it's $30 million. I mean, where are you going to come up with that kind of money to do it?
And I get that, but shouldn't this, I mean, this is all opinion-based, but I do agree with you. When it comes to a school district building schools, shouldn't the weight be a little bit more on them to create a better pathway for infrastructure because they're building brand new construction? I just don't know that how that works. So I don't want to
There's not really a mechanism in Texas that I'm aware of, and Ryan, you can speak to this as well, that where school districts must do that. I mean, I know on Chaparral Road, KISD did, if you look at that, go out there and look, they have built the new section of Chaparral Road the length of the high school. If you've been out there and seen that, kind of doesn't connect anything because Chaparral Road leans on down around it. But they did agree to build that to the standard that Killeen had decided they wanted to build Chaparral Road to so that Killeen can connect into it and there won't be construction in front of that high school. But I don't think there's a mechanism in terms of from the state of Texas that I'm aware of where a school district must dedicate so much to the roadways that lead to that. It's just up to the entities to try to work with them. And they have been willing to work with us. I mean, they work with us on the middle school. The elementary school is coming in. There is some back channel. Again, it has not gone to their board. So, I mean, I can't speak to, you know, if that'll be a partnership that manifests itself on out. but I hope it does. At least from a staff perspective, there seems to be some agreement we can work together to do that.
Talk about our section.
Yeah, our section of Chaparral Road is important to note is not, you know, you hear about the length of it. I mean, I think it's, I can't remember the total footage that we have right now, Christina.
So inside the city limit is only about 100 feet worth. There's about a mile just under that is in the ETJ with the agreement that we have with the that was done a few years back.
So that just shows you the scope of what we have as a city, about 100 feet. The rest of it's in the county, in our ETJ that sits in the county, so of that total roadway.
Is the bridge part of that?
I'm sorry. How much?
How much are we obligated to put into Chaparral?
Well, I mean, we have that, this phase,
that mile?
It's the final phase of it, and you have a bridge as part of that phase down there, too, because that bridge has got to come up. And I'm not sure how that's going to be broken out. If we're sharing the cost on the bridge, is that what kind of the way it's worded?
So the way it's worded was a percentage of what was taking place inside our city limits, and that is actually scheduled to come back before you all at the end of the month or beginning of next month. I think a workshop at the end of the month, and then after that, for consideration. And so we have been working very closely with Bell County and the city of Colleen to get the breakdown for that.
So it's going to be a heavy lift because it's not as simple as just redoing the roadway in there. We have a hill as you go to the south on 3481 where Chaparral T's in that most likely will need to be brought down a little bit lower for line of sight purposes, so the cars that are coming up over that hill. And I know this was a number that Otto threw to me. This has been 3 or 4 years ago. It was like $1.5 million in dirt work back then, so that might be $2 million plus now just in dirt work to lower that hill and build retaining walls. That's just getting 3481 ready to receive Chaparral Road. Doesn't count the Chaparral Road widening, which is over 100 foot wide, I believe. And they're talking about maybe potentially a 100-foot wide bridge that's got to be brought up so you don't have that dip as you get under the bridge. So the bridge will be much longer, 100-foot wide or 100-foot plus wide. So you're talking about a very expensive section of roadway when you put that bridge.
And when you do this and you go down the bridge, it'll no longer be that way than they do. Because, you know, everybody in the car does that.
Right, I like that.
Everybody out here, like he's laughing. Everybody knows.
Well, you know, the information that Ryan has, he got it up there, the KKPO, their website's very, very informative. You can read that. You alluded to, you know, Cat 2, Cat 9, Cat 7. You can learn to find out what that is, okay, how those monies are spent. And those get spread out, too. But, again, for those types of things that the cities can bring things forward. Christina sits on the TAC, okay? I'm on the Policy Planning Board. We work with David, the city staff, as far as trying to bring these things together. The other part, as far as this, Ryan brought this, is just to show you some things as far as transportation related. We do have them. It's documented, but it's out there. They're not like right here. So basically, where's path, and you know, that's what we're looking at. That's like right now. It's gonna be happening here real soon. Okay. So, but it's not the full answer, especially of the conundrum that we have with Warriors Path and Old Ball Stove. So,
it really is bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, you look at the other things that happened there, I mean, with Warriors Path, okay? So the fact is that Bellacharca finally got to get the exit out onto Warriors Path, okay? And then you got, like, a bazillion homes that are going to be built over there in Nolanville, mm-hmm. okay? So that's all part of this thing.
Yeah, it's only going to just triple even worse.
That really compounds it. We talk about the school district, but you're right, the developers, and again, that's another piece of this, that you know they don't really have to pony up a lot of money for those roadways that they're coming down to connect to. So it's compounded. It's not just the school district. We've got a lot of houses going in there as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's going into Nolanville, actually.
Yes.
It is. I think it's 300 right
there. You know, we work really well. We've had Dr. Kraft in here. We all know the trustees, so we're not necessarily throwing them. We don't have an adversarial relationship at all, but the thing is, we try to work together. But the main thing is just oftentimes what their priority is and what their timeline is and what their funding is different. It's different than ours. It's different than Killeen. It's different than Nolanville. And that's just like developers. Their timeline is different.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that for as far as the city, we're hampered as far as trying to rein them in at all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, anything for you, Ryan?
Thank you.
CCOG, K-Tempo, anything.
No, but your plate's full. Thank you for the great update.
I do have some cards that I'll leave with Jerry.
Yeah, does everybody know where K-Tempo and the CCOG's located?
Oh, yeah, CCOG.
Okay, over there in Belton, okay.
We're in Belton, I'm available, my mobile number's on that card. If you have any questions, not just about K-Tempo, but anything the COG may have or may be able to help you with, let me know.
Thank you.
Mayor, I got a question, if you don't mind.
Please, sure.
You're on the listed projects for Heights, what are the numbers, what are they signifying for a project?
Those are actual project numbers that were assigned when we received the projects.
So when it says H30-05B?
That was part of our 2030 MTP, and that's phase B.
Okay.
An age for Heights, there's a K and a H and a B for Belton, those kind of things, as you look down through, so when you see one of those things, it really helps you quickly realize it's what MTP is associated with.
Yeah, thank you.
I just, Ryan, thank you for you and your staff, we're working with you, and we appreciate you coming to present.
Anything else, Mr. Mitchell? Okay, folks, time is 3:41, and we're adjourned.
Great.
Appreciate it.